shooting out sparks over 38 states, the Canadian plains, and the tequila fields of Mexico.
A program most deserving of a grand introduction.
The Nocturnal Journal.
The Talk of the Town. WGN Radio 720.
With your guide, Dave Hoekstra.
Daytime turns me off and I don't need maybe. 9 to 5 ain't taking me where I'm bound.
Welcome to Nocturnal Journal tonight, and we're going to get right to it. On the phone from Grinnell, Iowa, we have Professor Will Freeman, who spent the summer driving around America in a Morgan three-wheeler. Are you there, Professor?
I am, Dave.
Thanks for joining us on a Saturday night. We're birds of a feather. I like driving around America, too, but not in a three-wheeler. So talk about the origins and the inspiration for such a trip.
Well, you know, I've always been a car guy and a motorcycle guy. I've driven around the country several times with my children. Actually, when each one of them turned 12, I put them on the back of a motorcycle and did a major trip around the country and wrote about that in a book called The Quest. And then had this idea that I'd really like to do all 48 states and do it in a very unique vehicle, a Morgan three-wheeler out of England. And the choice of the vehicle was made because I'm writing this book about people's life journeys. When I wrote The Quest, it was about my life journey, and this upcoming book is about the people I met along the way, and I'm writing about them. And this was the open door to those conversations. This Morgan three-wheeler was like a people magnet. And plus, it was just a heck of a lot of fun.
You left, correct me if I'm wrong, you left in May, and you came back in mid-August?
I did. I left from commencement ceremonies here at Grinnell College, and I remember taking off and heading south on a two-lane toward Missouri. That was the first state. And thinking to myself, what the heck have you done? You know, why are you doing this? And it was important for me to just sort of separate myself from the magnitude of the journey, you know, 79 days in this three-wheeler, and just think about it day to day, one state at a time, one day at a time, meet the people, write about them. And I kind of got into a routine, and it was really fun. It was absolutely amazing and far more than I anticipated.
You did all 48 states and about 16,000 miles?
It was 16,200 and all 48 states. And when we planned it, the trip was planned in a course that I co-taught with another professor here, Dr. Keshel Scott. And we call it the American Journey. And the students, actually, part of the class was for them, the tail end of the class was to do a project where they would plan the actual route that I would take. And we gave them certain criteria. You know, it had to be two-lane highways only, mom-and-pop places for food and housing, visit unique places, historic places, beautiful drives, spiritual places. And we just gave it to them and said, okay, here it is. And we split it up like 5 or 6 states to each small group, and they developed the route, and I followed their route.
You followed it by the book? You did. Did you go off on your own at all, or did you follow it?
Very little, very little. I stayed pretty close to, because there were people out there that knew what I was doing. There's a website on the trip, and that people can see the actual route that I took and read the daily blog. It's called M3W for Morgan Three Wheeler, M3WRoadTrip.com. And you can see the route that the students put together.
Tell the listeners, give us just a basic 101 on a three-wheeler. I know you purchased it in Mississippi, but it's open cockpit. Tell me what it's like to drive, how fast it goes. What's the basic thing of a three-wheeler?
Well, the three-wheeler was actually made originally by Morgan. The Morgan Motor Company out of England is the oldest continuous motor car company. And they made this vehicle from 1910 to 1952. And the reason for the three-wheels was taxation. It was cheaper to tax what was called a motorcycle at the time than a car. And so they made three-wheelers. And then when the taxation thing went by the wayside, it was just as cheap to have a car. They quit making them, and that was 1952. They started up again in 2011. And being a car guy and a motorcycle guy, I really thought this was such a beautiful, unique thing. And the thing that resonated with me was the workmanship. These are handmade vehicles. and just like they were, you know, 100 years ago. And so that it, I got to thinking, wow, wouldn't this be something to do this vehicle around the country in an open cockpit? I mean, you're in the weather, you're engaged in what's happening out there. You have no choice. And it was, again, it just turned out to be far more than I anticipated and far better.
Okay, some basic questions. How fast does it go?
Very. Way faster than I want to go. I think I had it up to 90, maybe, for an extended period out in Montana and
yeah,
Wyoming,
that's a good place.
Where you
yeah.
can do that.
Yeah, yeah. Right, yeah.
But, you know, usually it was just following the speed limit. And most of the time, almost all the time, I was on two-lane highways. So, of course, you want to, you know, be careful.
You didn't get any tickets?
Didn't get a ticket. Nope. Found some ugly weather, but...
Yeah, that was my next question. What do you do when there's a big storm?
Well, I had a rain suit, had gear, I had sponsors, so I had special gear made up for the trip and wore it, of course. And truth is, the rain suit was pretty hot, I mean, being middle of the summer. And the last half of the trip, where I got most of the rain coming down the East Coast, I just didn't even wear it. I was wearing this quick dry material clothing, and I figured, you know, I'm going to get wet, I'll dry, you know. And it turned out to be great. It was it was kind of enjoyable in a way.
So mostly two lanes. So I imagine maybe you didn't, if you were on the back roads, you didn't encounter that many trucks. I could see
not
a trucker
many.
Like hassling you, flipping you off or something.
Right. No, because the thing was, it was so popular with people that anywhere I stopped, anywhere, you know, to get gas or to get a drink or just to take a break, it would attract people. I remember in Mississippi, I pulled off just to run in and get a Gatorade at a gas station. And the time it took me to go in and get the Gatorade and come back out, there were 22 people standing by it. And that's what I ran into everywhere. It was just a smile machine. People would come up and look at it and want to know the story behind it. And I remember, you know, I probably spent close to an hour a day, because I take 4 to 5 stops, probably an hour a day total, just telling the story about the vehicle, about the trip, the genesis of the trip. And, you know, that's time 79 days. So a lot of time was spent telling the story, and I never got tired of it. I mean, the smiles on people's faces, the children that would come up in just in amazement, you know, I'd say, hey, get in the driver's seat here and let your folks take a picture of you. And they loved it. It was just the perfect vehicle.
It is a great you know, being on the road in a unique vehicle you know, creates warmth. It creates a great connection. I mean, in the camper book I did, we have a Ford Transit van, and the birds were painted by Chicago artist Tony Fitzpatrick. So I'd be at stoplights in smaller towns. I remember one time in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and people would smile and wave and give a thumbs up. It really, unique trips like this really create a point of engagement with strangers.
Oh, it absolutely. Absolutely. And that was sort of that was the point of it, you know, because the book that I'm writing is about people's life journeys, and I wasn't necessarily searching out famous people or rich people or athletes or actors or any of that. I just wanted to meet everyday people and hear their stories and write about them, because I think every life journey matters and everyone has a story to tell. And you know, it just, for me, I wanted to be that person to tell it.
For sure. I read in your notes, another reason you liked the three-wheeler was, and I found this in my camper too, was simplicity, like small living. You didn't get, I mean, you were just, it was just you. I mean, how'd you pack? How'd you pack for this? And you were gone
a
long time.
You pack light, and you really have to kind of use your head. And, you know, do I need this? Do I really need it? I learned that early on, you know, that some of the stuff I packed wasn't really necessary. I think we all do that, though, when we travel. We overpack. And the original plan was to camp everywhere, and I just decided not to do it because it would take too much stuff to carry. And at the end of a long day driving, you don't want to be setting up camp and dealing with the weather and all that. You just want a warm bed somewhere. And so I looked for mom-and-pop places, and sometimes I would stay with alums or friends or people who reached out to me, didn't know me from Adam, but would invite me to stay with them. And it was just remarkable how people reached out.
And so talk a little bit about the book. When's the book going to come out? Does it have a title?
Well, here, you know, no, not at this stage. I had a real nice camera with me. I took a lot of pictures, high resolution pictures, of course, and not only places, but of the people I met and interviewed and talked with. And so the book will be sort of an extended blog. You know, this is what I did every day. There'll be 79 chapters, if you will.
Oh, really?
You know, of the book, and each chapter is the day. And this is who I met. This is where I went. Here's the pictures. What did it mean meeting this person? You know, that to me. And so it was being written along the way. Like every day, I would drive, I would find a place, and then I would write on the book. And then after that, I would typically eat dinner, and then I would do the blog. You know, the blog that, which is on the website. And so the blog kind of took a backseat because I had, you know, obviously the book was priority one. And there were nights when I was late, 1 a.m., 2 a.m., writing on the blog. And I remember we had a big following on the website, and there were a couple days when I didn't get to it. I was just too tired. I had to wait till the morning to do the blog. Yeah. And I woke up to all these emails, you know, are you okay? You know,
you didn't
have a blog entry last night, and which was kind of cool that we had that many people following the trip, and it got bigger as we went. So it was really neat to share the trip with everyone.
Okay, we're going to take a break. You can hang on for a little bit, right?
Sure.
And I want to talk about your life there at the college, too. So don't go away on Nocturnal Journal on WGN. Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal on WGN, and we're with Professor Will Freeman from Grinnell College. You couldn't listen to radio or music? Did you have a headset or anything when you were driving around the country?
Well, you know, I could have, but I didn't. I decided not to do that. I find it's good thinking time
for me
behind the wheel, you know, and you probably know that. And especially on a bike or in this particular vehicle, I wanted to be engaged with what was going on around me. And, you know, when you're using music or you're inside of a car with the windows rolled up and the air conditioning on, you're separated from it, you know, and I didn't want that. So it worked out great. I mean, I used that time. It was sort of an interesting experiment in solitude, if you will, you know, and I think it's something we all need time with ourselves. And certainly when you're writing, you need to have that. And I benefited from that for sure.
Real quick, just give me a roadmap. You started from Iowa. Just tell me where you went real fast, east, west, south. I know you went down to Key West, but just tell us your route.
I went south first. I wanted to meet up with William Least Heat Moon, was one of the authors that I really respect, that I actually put their names on the vehicle. They Jack Kerouac on the Road, John Steinbeck, Travels with Charlie, Robert Persig, Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance, and William Least Heat Moon. These are all authors that I have written about their own journeys, and I wanted to meet up with him. I wasn't able to. He was actually having surgery the day I went through Missouri, but I had met with him 2 months earlier about this trip, and that's why I chose to go south first. I went to Missouri, then into Kansas, Arkansas, turned east, made it all the way over to Alabama, then doubled back through Louisiana, Texas, and on to the West Coast. It was up through New Mexico, Colorado, Utah, Arizona, California. And then the northern part of the country, I came east and then worked my way over to Maine and then down the East Coast to Florida and back to Iowa. So it was pretty neat, and it was all laid out for me by the students.
I bet you went 90 more than Montana.
A little bit, but I mean, and here's the thing. People say, God, you're so low to the ground in that thing. It must feel like you're flying. Not really. I mean, when you're going 90, you don't feel like you're moving that fast. You know, it's maybe I just got used to it. I don't know, but probably shouldn't say how much I was going over the speed limit.
Now, here's this is, I don't want to bury the lead, but this is great. You're at the Grinnell. Curtis, you're the track and field coach, and you do this.
Track and field and cross country.
So your whole life is in motion.
Yeah, exactly. But Grinnell allows us to do these things, you know, because they think outside the box here. The educational process here is outside the box. And, man, I'm telling you, they turn out some pretty talented people. from this place. And it keeps us young, keeps us on the ball. And I just love working with athletes who are doing it for the right reasons. They love it. They have a passion for it. But they also know where it fits into the academic ethos of the place. And we've just been really blessed to be here our whole career, in fact. We've had one job since we left grad school.
And how long have you been there?
That was 1980. I came and was between degrees at Indiana University, and I was just taking a break year before the doctorate. And we ended up staying because we just felt like, oh my gosh, this place is right. They do sports right. It's a very academic place, and we're into that. And it's just been a real blessing for both of us, my wife and I.
We got a couple minutes left. Let me ask you this. I hadn't talked to you before, and now we're talking about sports. But in our conversation, you've laid out the trip and stuff. Man, you have a lot more discipline than I had. You know, you had more of a schedule. But where I'm going with that, now that you talked, is do you bring athletic discipline into this? I mean, you have to be disciplined to be an athlete. So does that carry over into these endeavors?
Well, it might, but, you know, of course we're trying to teach that with our athletes, but the bottom line is the performance in sport, the whole process of it is, it's the athlete's thing. You know, our model here that I've written about, of course, is the athlete-centered, coach-led model where, you know, we show them the way, we make them understand why you train the way you do, and here's the benefit of it, but then you also got to know when to get out of the way and let them take ownership in it. And we've done that, and it's been successful here. And I wouldn't want to coach at the D1 level. And for years, I did all the things you're supposed to do, you know, write the books and chair the NCAA committee and coaching ed committee for USA Track, do all these things you're supposed to do so you get the call. You know, that's how it works at D1. You don't apply for a job. You get a phone call. And when it finally happened, it was like I told Evelyn, I said, why would we want to leave here? This place is, it's done right. We really enjoy our work. And why would we want to go to a level where you have to spend your time keeping people in class and, you know, off drugs and out of jail and that sort of thing? I just didn't want to deal with that. And I was a D1 athlete, mind you. Yeah. So I know that side of it.
Okay, we got to wrap it up. I want you to give out the website again so people can read about your journey, and there's pictures on there.
Right. It's M3W, as in Morgan Three-Wheeler, M3WRoadTrip.com. And there's pictures and the blog every day, the blog and pictures for the whole trip. And,
And you're still, you told me before a segment, you took it out today. It was a beautiful day out there in Iowa, and you took it for a little spin.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. It's just such a cool vehicle, and I reminisce, you know, about the trip. I've only been back a month, but it brings back a lot of good memories.
Okay, well, let's stay in touch, okay?
Yeah, definitely.